It was a cold night in Europa, but Rafa brought the heat. But speaking of heat, the best defense and the best offense face each other in the context of go win or go home as Benfica hosts Braga in the Taça Portugal game this Wednesday. All of that and much more. Another night, another podcast.
Hasta que no estás aquí dentro no sabes la grandeza de este equipo.
Quiero Benfica intimidar o adversário. Quiero mal sagrado entrar con vocês en cualquier estado. Y estamos, pa! É isso que eu quero!
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Talking to the Law Benfica podcast. My name is Alfredo Fumasas, with you as always, every week, bringing you the latest and greatest in Benfica land and podcast. We're part of the Benfica Independent Network, founding partners and proud members. What's happening, everybody? Welcome. Welcome to the show with me, as always, Dave de Oliveira. What's happening, Dave? What's going on up in the Great White North? You got snow yet?
What's going on? We just got our first dusting this week here. Nothing to close the schools or close any roads yet. But yeah, we got our first dusting of the year, but nothing crazy yet. But good to be back on. Shout out to Freddy's already in the chat. They're already active this evening, but good to be back on.
Somebody's saying that Cristiano looks different. It's not a mistake. It's Cristiano Libori. Cristiano, what's happening, brother?
What's going on, guys? Thank you for the invite. Our Freddy's, hope everyone's well. Looking forward to the show.
Yeah.
Time with you guys.
Yeah, so the regular Cristiano couldn't be here. He's who knows where he is. I have a hard time keeping track of him these days. He might pop up in the chat at some point. But Cristiano's here. He's been here before. He's not a newbie. He also has a project in which he talks about Portuguese football and Portuguese with members of Sporting, Braga, Porto. It's a good show. So if you guys like that, Chris, tell people a little bit more about the show, man. When you guys are on and what's the vibe like?
Let's do a quick shameless plug, right?
Yeah, of course, man. That's what you're here for.
Yeah. So the show is called Goal In. So you can find it on Instagram and on Facebook. On Instagram is Goal In 2023. On Facebook is just Goal In. We transmit live through Facebook. And that's what we're using now. And it's myself, a couple of awesome people. We got Vitor, Jorge, Brandon, Bruno, Ricky, Senhor Machado, João, representing Braga. So, we try to be a little bit innovative. You know, we were one of the first shows. Even though now we heard that there's a show in Portugal already that threw in a Braga guy the other day also. But to our knowledge, we got a lot of feedback that we were one of the only shows to include Braga. And we did a big four, you know?
Yeah.
Throwing Braga in there.
And you need
to. Good. We go Monday nights, 9. Start at 9 and we go until we start at 8. I'm sorry, 8 until 9:30, 10 o'clock. Yesterday it went for a while. It got heated.
With Bruno, always gets heated, bro.
Oh, Bruno. Bruno brings in, but you need that. You need that. You need a little bit of spice. Bruno definitely gets people riled up.
Yeah, no, of course. It's an enjoyable show. It's a bunch of guys here in the U.S., in the East Coast. Actually in Portuguese, man, which is to me is the most interesting thing is that you guys do it in Portuguese. I think that it takes a lot of balls for guys that that have English as another language, and some of you aren't even the native language is not Portuguese, and you guys have a lot of balls to come out and do a show like that in Portuguese, man. I think it's
big ballers,
it's
big
great.
Ballers.
Yeah, big ballish, like Elijah's balls in Turkey. The guys check out the show, man. It's on as Chris mentioned at 8 o'clock here in the East Coast. So if you have some time, just check those guys out on Mondays. But just getting back here to our lineup, we have the Arouca game to recap. We also have the Braga preview. And we'll look ahead to the last game of the first round against Rio Ave, as Benfica goes on a three-game homestand with the Braga game that happens tomorrow as we record this. So let's get right into the Arouca game. I'll give you the lineup. Benfica travel up north to play Arouca in a game that we kind of foresaw that it was going to be a difficult game for Benfica, as it always is when these trips up north and these pitches that are not in the best condition. But yeah, we kind of anticipated being a hard game for Benfica, but it turned out not to be. Trubin was in goal, Auschnitz, Silva, Otamendi, Murato across the back, Neves and Kokshu, Di Maria, João Mário, Rafa behind Cabral. And Cristiano, let me start with you, man. Were you surprised that Cabral got the start? Or you figure with Tankstead injured, maybe Cabral is now the next guy in the pecking order?
Man, Alfred, it's one of those things, man. Like, he bought him, right? He's going to have to play him. And you can always give the excuse when Tankstead is there that the game asked for more speed or more press on the ball, not so much a guy in the box or in the area. But now he has no excuse, right? His other forwards hurt.
Yeah.
The other person here would have been Musa. But I think in this game, and not to jump off of your question, but to start Musa once again proved that off the bench, way more effective than starting. At this point, I would just hope Musa says to himself, like, all right, this is who I am. I'm going to come in the 60th, 65th, hopefully not later than that, even though we know how Schmidt does some of his subs, man. Again, three subs in the 85th minute. I don't know if you're going to talk about that, but to me that was, I don't get it sometimes.
It's been his MO.
I don't get it. I know. And I think Cabral was just a natural choice. And yeah. I don't know, man. Did he have a goal? I don't know.
That was one can argue, and after they showed the way they set up the lines weren't properly selected, and it looks like if they had been properly pointed and planned out, he could have been off onside.
Who puts that on TV, man? Who does that? Like, how do these guys even have the the ballers to put that on TV?
We know who puts it on TV. That's what it is. They'll blatantly put it on TV and draw the lines however they want to when it's in their favor, right? So
yeah.
Someone explained it. They were like, "Oh, the foot was in line as the shoulder, so the line being on the shoulder on the foot." I'm like, "What? No,
right?
It can't. Even if it's slanted, it's not. I mean, if everything's slanted, then if you even do a straight line, everything should be straight according to the slant, regardless, you know? Like, yeah. It's not in line. I don't know, man. Whatever. We won, so, you know.
Yeah. And Dave, I know that you're usually a fan of the ugly duckling forwards. What do you think of Cabral? Certainly, when you look at Cabral, there's a progression. There's an evolution in his game. For me, the best performance from Cabral since he's been at Benfica. What do you think?
I would say it's up there. Obviously, he doesn't get on the score sheet here, and we debated whether or not it was onside or not. But that's what we want to see. And the squad overall has been growing and progressing with this same starting 11. Now that they're getting the same run week in and week out, so players are getting used to each other. And I know we were clamoring at the beginning of the season here that Roger hasn't found his starting 11, but with injuries and everything that's going on with the squad, this is Roger's starting 11 that he trusts, and the players are feeding off that trust with one another as well. So Cabral's not my ugly duckling on this
not
squad.
Yet.
not yet.
Who is?
Honestly, nobody really. Nobody's really stepped up and replaced Seferovic in my heart since he left. But the matter of the truth of the matter is that we spent $20 million on this guy, and he's got to get it going here. So whether or not he's a ugly duckling or he's got my heart, we just got to keep him, keep going with him up top, and hopefully he catches some fire, and we're able to recoup some of that money. That.
Yeah, that's right. Real quick, I think that, like as I mentioned, I think that he had an excellent game, holding the ball, waiting for guys, holding defenders off, making the passes, making the runs, holding the ball and running with the ball when he had to, and passing it off when he had to. So I was pretty encouraged.
He lost weight too, Alfredo. You see that? He lost a little weight.
He lost a little weight? Yeah. That's you know, and it's not typical, right? Because usually guys come out of the Epica Natalicia. They came in a little heavy after all the sweets. But yeah, I think that, and here's the thing too. The arrival of Marcos Leonardo, if you're a forward on this team for Benfica, you have to feel that now you kind of have to take it to another level. And those guys, they have to show that they have another level. Because so far, and the reason why we went and got Marcos Leonardo, right? Marcos Leonardo, is because these guys haven't really been the solution. They haven't been the answer for Benfica. So now with Benfica signing, one of these guys have to answer, because they don't want to drop any further down in the pecking order. Chris, what do you think, man?
At this point, also Rui Costa and Schmidt needed to show that they were doing something, because things aren't going well. So they needed to show, whether it's to the fans, whether it's to the Saucers, that they're putting pressure. We're putting pressure on them. Like, man, we're not scoring goals. You have a game against, what was it, Portimonense?
Yeah. Yeah,
we had 34 attacks.
Yeah, something like score. That.
Come on, that can't happen. So I think that going early into the market was good. And they feel a little bit of the pressure, and they want to show that, you know, we are doing something about it too. I think that they were a little very smart in going right away to do this, because you have a team like Porto that, okay, today Ivan Nilsson scored 3 goals. That's not going to happen every game. They have more of a lack of scoring forwards than we have. And they haven't made those moves. I think that's going to be an Achilles heel for them. But we made the moves, and hopefully, let's not forget, dudes, we have Bach coming back, right? Okay, he's doubtful, but it's from last I read, it's positive. You have Nedj coming back, right, sometime in February. So then you can push Orange up and have a consistent midfield like we've had last year. You know, I think João Mário has been producing too much because he's missing Orange there. He was a fundamental key player in the partnership. Koskou had a great game, but he's not consistent also. I think he won player of the match for a number of websites. But I think that Rafa, again, I mean, we rely too much on Rafa, man. We're sending the ball forward and just playing this direct soccer that Schmidt wasn't doing last year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if these forwards are the only answer needed.
Yeah, no. And look, I think it helps when Arouca comes out and they want to play with high block, with leaving space behind their back. I mean, that is the perfect situation for Rafa. And Cabral, if Cabral was a little faster, we could have had a couple goals. But you know, we had a goal called off in the 15th minute, another goal called off in the 29th minute, and then. Finally, in the 39th minute, Rafa scored, put Benfica up from a Di Maria feed. But, you know, I kind of, you have to give credit to Arouca, because they came to play, and they remained true to their identity. They weren't going to lower their lines and just park the bus. They wanted to press Benfica up high. But I think that Benfica is too good right now in terms of getting away from that press. I think that Trubin coming in also is allowing Benfica to be much better in the first phase of transition, especially when the other team steps up higher and they raise their lines to press Benfica. I think having Trubin with the feet that he could break some lines to play the ball over that first block of pressure, I think it's key for Benfica. But I really thought that that it was very courageous from Arouca to come out and play like that. And I think that Benfica, once they found out, okay, well, you're giving me the space behind the back, we're just gonna do runs. We're going to do runs, cross runs into the back, and hopefully somebody is going to find a runner behind the back and is going to be able to place the ball, and there it is. But I can't say enough about how Arouca set up. Trubin made a couple saves.
It could have been for the tie, Alfredo. He made that crazy save, right? It would have been a 1-1, I think.
Yeah, you got
if
that.
I'm not wrong.
Yeah, you got
right after the Rafa goal, right?
Yeah, you got right.
And then they had the offside too.
Yeah, they had the Otamendi miscue. You got the Kökçü, which was a lot more serious miscue that he was able to save. But look, that's what big team keepers do. They may spend 85 minutes looking at the ball, just directing their teammates, and then at the end, when they're called to action, there they are. And Trubin has truly had saves that have been point saves for us, or game saves, I should say. Because had he not been there, then we're probably up Schitt's Creek and we're chasing the result. But certainly, I thought that Benfica was smart to take advantage of Arouca's high line. And I think that we go into the locker room, I think that was a natural result. You could make an argument that maybe Arouca deserved a goal from that miscue, but I don't think they had enough run of play and enough domination of the ball. They do finish the game with a lot more possession than Benfica, but they didn't have enough of a flow of game that you could say, man, yeah, Arouca deserved that goal because they the past 15 minutes that's been all them. No, it wasn't like that. So into the locker room, I don't know how you guys were feeling, but I was feeling good about what Benfica had just done. And the pitch also was starting to deteriorate for every minute that went by.
I get worried with 1-0s, man. When they go at 1-0 in, I'm like, oh, boy. And it was 1-0 right after the miscue, right after the save. And, yeah, I mean, Arouca had one shot on net, right? They had 11 attacks, 11 shots. If he got 11-2, I think if he got, like, 6 on frame, 3 not.
Yeah.
And Arouca was, like, 10 off and 1 on, whatever it was. But I don't know, going in 1-0 the way the team is, guys, I don't know. I was like, man, this guy's not going to score another goal. We're going to win 1-0. We're going to suffer this whole second half. Are you serious?
Yeah.
You know, and it took – I mean, it took Musa scoring the goal for 3 subs to get made after it. And even until that point, I'm like, oh, my Lord, man. Come on, dude.
Nah, but
I don't know.
You know, we don't know. Yeah. But that's been Schmidt's MO. And by this time, we're kind of getting used to desensitized, if you will. But Dave, Benfica came out of the locker room, and 2 minutes later, we were up 2-0. So if there was anything that Arouca was trying to do, Benfica put an end to it. A goal by Kökçü off of a feed of Rafa, a goal that initially was called offside, but then after the VAR review, it was called a goal. So Dave, 2-0 to start the second half. Were now you more relaxed rather than a 1-0 going into Arouca and seeing how Arouca was playing?
I said on last week's podcast that I figured it would be a tight and close game, but as soon as, and I know Cristiano said that a 1-0 scoreline at halftime left him uneasy, but I'd rather a 1-0 scoreline than a 0-0 scoreline,
for sure,
especially against these smaller teams, because that just gives them more incentive to park the bus here. But definitely with a 2-0 scoreline early in the second half, it was smoother sailing there a little bit. less of heart attacks on our end for the Benfiquistas watching the half there. But I know you said that this could have been Cabral's best game for Benfica, but don't look now. But Kokshu's slowly and quietly making his case for his big value signing in the offseason. Yeah. I think easily his best game for sure.
Yeah, and in the post game presser, they did ask him about his first few months in Portugal, and he did mention, he did admit that it took him a little bit to get used to it. He was also deployed a little higher in the Netherlands for the team that they played for, that he played for. So he's somewhat trying to figure out what Roger Schmidt wants from him. More defensive than what he's used to, covering more ground, closing up more holes, more defensive duties than he would normally have. But he did say that he struggled a little bit, but now he feels at home, and it clearly shows. It shows that he's progressed, and it seems that every time out he's had more and more success, and he's had better form. But I do think that his position is not there. And there was a difference.
I thought he was a player of the match. I know Sports TV gave it to Rafa, but I think they just wanted to get an opportunity to create some fire and get a chance to interview him. But smart on Rafa to accept the award and then just walk off.
Yeah,
before any questions could be asked.
But David,
a bunch of sites did give it to Kokshu. A bunch of sites did.
Yeah,
but it's
hard.
Portugal was the only one I think that gave it to Rafa. But yeah, knew that was gonna happen.
Yeah, it's
they want a picado. They want a
Yeah, but the thing is that how do you not give the player of the match to a guy that has an assist and a goal, right? It's hard, right? You look at the hard numbers.
Kokshu also got an assist and a goal though too.
You're right, because Kokshu did assist Musa for Benfica's third goal. But just getting back to the game, João Mário had a chance, good play all around in the 58th minute. Didn't convert. Rafa had that miss, one of his few misses that he actually had an excuse for, as the ball is rolling, it hits a divot and it jumps up and he ends up skying the ball. And I don't think anybody was complaining about that because everybody saw what really happened.
When it happened live, you said something.
I saw the ball. I saw the ball jump.
And then the replay came, and I had to kind of bite my tongue. But instant reaction. You see it's Rafa, and it's that miss. You assume the worst.
Yeah, no, I saw the ball take a weird bounce, and I kind of figured, that's what it is. But then the slow mo really showed how much the ball. And look, guys, this is at full speed. We're not talking about you and I playing in a playground. This is full speed. The ball jumps up like that, and you don't have the reflex to adjust.
Don't doubt us in the playground.
But anyway, 72nd minute, Musa came in for Cabral. 78, Tino came in for João Mário. In the 85th minute, super sub Petar Musa scored off of a nice little goal off of a Kokshu cross. Then, as Cristiano was alluding to, in the 87th minute, Guedes, Gouveia, and Araújo for Di Maria, Rafa, and Auschwitz. Vai lá perder. Já que aqueceste, agora entra.
Vai jogar.
Yeah. But look, I thought there was an important 3 points for Benfica against Tarouca, especially playing away, playing in North, the way the field was. I mentioned, just got progressively worse as the game went on. But I thought that, Waroka being courageous the way they were, they really opened it up for Benfica. And I think that Benfica was smart and they were able to take advantage. So 3 points is 3 points. Let's go.
Yeah, it worked out for us too, man, with Porto's result, with Braga tying also.
Yeah.
Fine with a Braga loss too, but a Braga tie does help us in terms of points and keep the pressure on Sporting.
Yeah,
these guys keep on scoring goals, man. These guys got to calm down.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's see, because right now they're, when you mentioned, Chris, that we're very dependent on Rafa, you could say the same thing for Sporting, that they're very dependent on Gyökeres.
Without a doubt. I think that guy gets injured, or the one game he has accumulation of yellows, he can't play. If he gets a red, they're not going to – I'm telling you. I don't
it's,
think
it's not
happen.
Paulinho that's going to come in.
Oh, man. Dude, he scored that goal. Did you see that with his back? Oh, my. I don't even know how he – he doesn't know how he does it, man.
Yeah, no, but
– I know that we don't talk about other games, like the other teams and whatnot, but, man. It was supposed to be a corner. The ref gives a goal kick. I mean, he can't predict the future that it was going to be a goal. But my God, man, like, how could you not giving? It's like they're not calling. I don't even know. In the Porto game, it was the same thing. Like, it hits the guy in the hand, goes for a corner. The ref's like, goal kick. I'm like, what happened?
I don't know. Those are the things that make you say, hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, but I thought that that Benfica did well, Dave. Stats so we can move on.
Yeah, Rafa overtakes Di Maria as Benfica's top goal scorer with his 10th goal of the year. Third consecutive match that Rafa has scored in, assisted the same game. Koxu returns to the score sheet with his first goal since September 2nd, and he's now got a goal and three assists in his last four matches, so he's getting it going. Another goal for a super sub, Musa, his 13th goal as a substitute for Benfica, and first time this season that Benfica has been able to put together five consecutive victories.
Yeah, we always need that super sub, right? We had Raul Jimenez, he was our super sub, and now Musa is our super sub this...
Musa has 13 goals since he joined Benfica as a sub?
As a sub, yeah. 18, I believe, overall, and 13 of those 18... as a sub.
Wow. That's a great stat.
He has to have some sort of record, right? The least minutes played and the most goals scored. He has to have some sort of a record.
I saw there was somebody that posted something on X in terms of guys that have scored goals off the bench. And I think that in Benfica's history. And Musa was like 13th or something.
He's got 13. He's currently sixth.
He's sixth in that. Who's number one in that?
Nuno Gomes with 23 off the bench.
Right.
Cardozo with 21 off the bench. 18 for Seferovic.
That's like 4 years, right, Dave?
That's career. Yeah. Career at Benfica.
Yeah, so Musa's, this is his second season with Benfica?
Second year, right?
Yeah, so Montores with 14, and Raul Jimenez also had 14.
Yeah, so that's... Yeah, that's career at Benfica, I should say.
That's correct.
Yeah, so important win. We move on. We stay close to Sporting. We open up a little bit of a gap to Porto. I think it's 4 points now. Sporting is 5. Yep. Braga was hoping that they could join Porto, but I guess not. But what we got going next is...
What a colossal, man. Did you see it?
What's that? Yeah.
I think
if that goal is more to one of the angles, I think that is probably a Puskas nomination. I just think he just hits that ball so well. The ball takes a little bit of a trajectory change because he hits it so hard. But it's straight at the goalie almost. It's almost straight at the center of goal.
It dips though, man. You saw it.
It does dip
before the hand. It does a dip. I was like, you know, when I saw it, I was like, how does this guy not touch it? Because it went straight at him.
Yeah,
I know it was hard. I mean, obviously, I'm not a goalie. I never played a goal. I mean, but he jumped. Like, how do you not touch it? And then you see it, man. It was like it went over this hand and down. Like he jumped. Yeah. Over the bar, man.
Yeah, it took a little bit of a swerve, a trajectory change that I saw. But when you hit that ball that squarely, that hard, those balls, the way they are right now, they're always going to move a little bit. And I think that the goalie got caught by how fast the shot came at him and also the trajectory. He didn't know how to prepare for that ball, I think. But enough of that about that. Turning our attention. No problem. No, the Taça de Portugal game. While Porto and Sporting played today, and both teams, both opponents decided to rest players ahead of this game or for this game. I know that Sturil, I was looking at Sturil's lineup and didn't have at least two or three main guys that usually Holzgrove wasn't playing. That other Rafik Gitan wasn't playing. There was another couple guys that didn't play, but yeah. But you know, I don't understand, because if you're going to just devalue the competition or feel that, you know, I'm just going to play because we got this far and we're just going to field some players, we don't have any ambitions to go far. You know, it's, I don't know how I feel about that. But, you know, Braga coming to Stade Luge. We've already beaten Braga once this year, 1-0. As a matter of fact, the past couple times that we've met Braga, it's been very slim, 1-0 wins. Braga comes into Stade Luge. Chris, do you feel that that Braga comes in with a positive mindset, or do you think that the fact that they could have equaled Porto with the win, and the fact that they held on for dear life at the end of the game, wasted a little bit of time, and then got hurt in that goal with the tying, and they missed on 2 points, do you think that was a big blow that could affect Braga into the game tomorrow?
I was even hoping for a loss, man. I was hoping Guimarães would score, like, right off from the kickoff, get the ball, kick it over, and score another one, man. Because that would have really thrown them off. But I hope, I think that goal really shattered them, too. I mean, what are you? I think you're going to win this game. You're over there. You're going to tie with your direct opponent, right? You're going to go in up into third, and the goal is scored the way it's scored. You're just like...
Yeah, that was a blow.
What just happened, you know? And then I'm sure there had to be friction in the locker room, man, because the whole goalie wasting time. There was a couple of things going on that I was like,
yeah.
So you know that there had to be head bumping. I mean, we've been in a locker room. We know how it goes when we lose a game because
two or three people
didn't give their 100% for the 90 minutes. And that one moment, this is a League One, right? Like for professional soccer, Primeira Liga. That one mistake in that 1 minute can cost you a goal. Yeah. So I definitely think they're going to go in a little bit shattered, but I think they're also going to be motivated, because if they lose more points now, it's only going to help Guimarães. I think Guimarães is, what, 2 points away?
Yeah.
But this is not going to count for the league, but moving forward, they have a tough calendar. I don't know if you guys noticed Braga's calendar. They have a tough calendar.
Well, they got Porto over the weekend.
For the league right after us. Right. Back-to-back games here.
And don't they have Sporting too?
A couple of weeks after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on this month of January, man. It's like no joke for them. So they can be like, okay, this is the Liga. I mean, we'll lose. But, man, they can't think like that either.
Yeah, and that's why I think it was that allowing that goal, man, and especially knowing that your time wasting – was what caused the additional minutes to be added, right? And then to see that, to miss out on a chance to equaling Porto, and now you're playing Benfica, and you got Porto on the weekend, where you could have been tied with Porto, and now you take it into a game where it's like, well, at worst, we're going to tie this game against Porto, and we'll still stay with them. I think it's deflating for Braga, but I'm with you, Cristiano. I think they're going to come in, albeit a little bit affected by what happened. But I think they're going to look at it as like, okay, well, let's get some momentum going here, because if we don't win this game against Benfica, they're out of the cup. Then they have Porto, and Braga hasn't lost a lot of points. They haven't lost a lot of points this season. Offense.
They gotta go to Witter for Malicão, which is no joke. And then they have the League Cup with Sporting. This might be a rough month for them. So I think that they're gonna have to hold on to whatever they can. You know, they wanna be like Big Four. They're gonna wanna beat Benfica. You know, and looking at the slim margins, and you're right, it's been 1-0, 2-1, 3-1 here and there, but the results have been tight. But they are missing, in my opinion, some of the more crucial players.
Yeah.
Yep.
That have been key this season.
Yeah.
Which does not take away from the other dudes there, but man, if you saw the game, Alan Ruiz missed an open net. Like, he had Orta, which is uncharacteristic, missed an open frame with another player next to him that just tapped the ball in. I mean, that can hurt him too. Like, are they saying, man, if this guy Banza was here, if this guy Al Muzrati was here, could it have been different?
Yeah. You know, well, and Muzrati has been such a rock for them, right? In terms of just staying in front of that defense, plugging up holes, closing up lanes, making interceptions. I think that's one of the biggest misses that Braga's had, albeit they've been a scoring machine. They have the best offense in the league. Yeah. But in terms of defense, they're the ninth best defense. If I don't know if I can even put ninth and best together. they're the team. They're the ninth worst defense, I should say that. Maybe I should say that. But I don't know. In terms of goals allowed, they're in ninth. So that's huge. They score a lot of goals, but they also allow a lot of goals. Perhaps that is that risk reward type of style that they like to play. But when you come and play against Benfica or Porto or Sporting, you're going to make them pay if you're not shored up on defense. So I'm curious to see how Benfica approaches this game. I know that Marcos Leonardo.
Cabral for the hat trick.
I know that Marcos Leonardo was called up, but I don't anticipate him getting minutes. I think that Roger Schmidt just wanted him to be basically assimilated with the team, get used to the routines, be with the team, feel what the locker room is inside, get an understanding for who the leaders are in this team, especially on game day. There's guys that step up on game day that have that motivating, that leadership, the spirit. I know you could tell the leaders on a training pitch, but game day, there's a special type of animal that comes out. That's a leader, guys that we see in Otamendi and João Mário, albeit a little bit more quieter, not as outspoken as Otamendi, but certainly I think it's a good experience for him to get a feel for what the team chemistry and dynamic is on game day. I don't expect them to play. Chris, what do you think in terms of game? What are your expectations for this game?
I think he's gonna feel a similar team to what he did to Arouca. You know, he's gonna trust those guys. I think there were very few errors in terms of tactical errors. I think it was more individual lapses, and he's been consistent. I think for the last two games, he's had a similar lineup. I think he's going to go for it. I mean, it's what we have, right, dude? I mean, we have Morato on the left that doesn't offer us, you know, speed crosses. You know, he's there more as a defender.
Yeah.
You know, Arnes does what he does. Once in a while, he'll go up there. And when he goes up there, you see the difference. I mean, when he was making those runs in the last Champions League game, he was the one that assisted Cabral, you know? But he's going to rely on that midfield, on just being solid. And I think he's going to play direct again, man. He's been playing direct. I haven't seen that fluid. And I don't know if you guys agree, the fluidity that you saw them play last year, man, with the passes, boom, 1-2, 1-2, short, long. They were doing that so well. And this year, I just feel like it's so much more direct.
Yeah.
I don't know if it is. But I don't see Grimaldo being the one that made that possible. Grimaldo offered depth, right? And with Gonçalo Ramos was the one scoring goals, like we were relying a lot on him, you know, you can see. But he has the tools there. Is it because Orange is not in the midfield that he doesn't have that confidence? I think he's just going to play direct again, and I think we're going to rely on Rafa, and he's going to keep it very, very, very similar to
him. Yeah.
Well, and if it is, and we win, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Braga is not going to be as open as Arouca for sure. But I do think that the momentum that Benfica is carrying into this game, it's now five straight wins, only two goals allowed in this five games. Benfica has been consolidating their defensive processes in this momentum, in this run of form. And who would have thought, because we're playing with two fullbacks that are adapted fullbacks. They're not natural fullbacks. But just to touch up on what you're saying, Chris, I think what Grimaldo gave us was good build up, because he had very good technique. He knew how to pass. He could hold the ball. He was smart. He combined well. And I think that Benfica took advantage of that, and it kind of molded the game around that build-up and using Grimaldo on that outlet, that wide pass, and then have him combine with the guys inside and with the guys up front. Gonçalo Ramos was the guy that was very mobile, that made himself very available for the combination play. And I think that the personnel is a little different. So I think that the approach to the game is a little different. But Dave, what are your expectations for this game?
I think it's going to be, we're going to see some goals in this game. I know that not too long ago when we played him, it was a 1-0 victory with us getting that quick goal right away. And we really set up shop after that goal, but I'm expecting goals in this.
Yeah.
Match. I know Braga's coach today in his press conference was kind of playing the underdog card about Benfica having two strikers, that they spent 20 Braga's not making any signings. So I don't know if that was his way of deflecting the pressure off Braga and putting it on Benfica, or maybe that's a little bit of a nudge for his president to sign some players. But I think Benfica, there's going to be goals, but I think Benfica pulls it out at home and we qualify for the next round.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's...
You don't think Braga's going to open up, Alfredo? You think you're going
to
go...
No, I think that Braga is going to be very true to themselves, and I think they're a team that has a lot of solutions from the midfield forward. In terms of the attacking and how they go into that offensive transition, but I think in the back that there's a couple guys that are not up to the talent level that they had last year. Font's older. Some of the fullbacks are not the best fullbacks, and not having Musrati in front of that defense, I think makes a world of difference. I think that there's going to be goals, just because I think that both teams have offensive power. But I think that that Braga, because of their defense, I think that Benfica has a bigger shot of winning the game, let alone the fact that you're playing too. You got to be favorites playing at home, going into a game where you haven't lost in the past five games, and you've had very... very good wins in the past five games. And I think that Benfica needs to get as far as they can in this competition, because it's been a competition that's eluded us for quite some time. I think that we have, like, in the past 30 years, like maybe two or three Taças Portugal, which is really nothing. It's an iconic competition. It's the queen competition of Portuguese football. And I think that every Benfiquista has memories of a Benfica player hoisting the trophy in that tribune in the Jamor. I think that's always an iconic image, an iconic season-ending scenes in Portugal. So I hope that Benfica gets past Braga and is able to go through in competition. Next up, Rio Ave, last game of the first half of the season. Dave, what's Rio Ave up to?
Rio Ave's currently in 15th with 15 points from 3 wins, 6 draws, 7 defeats. Their last 6 coming into this, 1 win, 4 draws, 1 defeat. Historically, 51 wins, 11 draws, and 5 defeats. And we're coming into this match on an 11-match winning streak against Rio Ave. Last time we lost to them was in the Taça, back in December of 2017.
Yeah. Yeah, and what's...
That was the year that we were out of all the cups and all the competitions by the new year. That was when we didn't win a single, get a single point in the Champions League. That was Rui Bomba.
Rui Bomba.
That was his last year, right? That was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he got fired in January.
Yeah, game takes place, is it Saturday or Sunday? Probably Sunday, right, Dave? Sunday at Stade de Luge, 6 p.m. local. And Rio Ave, after 16 rounds, they have yet to win away from their stadium. So, on paper...
I hope it stays like that.
Yeah, on paper, certainly an easy game for Benfica against a 15th-place team. Playing at Stade de Luz is always encouraging, especially these days that we no longer see attendances 40,000 and below like in past times. I think that the team has a very good chance to build up a positive momentum going into the second round, getting the win against Braga, meeting Boa Vista. Not too long after this weekend to avenge that loss that we had to start the season, so it's I think it's important. I think it's important for Benfica to continue with the momentum because we have Marcos Leonardo. Also, there's big anticipation in terms of what he's going to bring to the team. Today, Jonas gave his thumbs up in terms of Marcos Leonardo. He approved the Marcos Leonardo acquisition. So that's, if Jonas approved it, that's good enough for me. I think that the team has been solidifying processes. They've been getting better and better. I think that a lot of that pressure that Roger Schmidt was feeling earlier has subsided. I thought that game was a turning point, the one that he had bottles of water thrown at him and Rui Costa came out in his defense. He also said something in the presser, as you guys know. So I thought it was a turning point, and I think that ever since then, I think that both the fan base and the team have reached some kind of level-headed calmness, if you will, some harmony, and I think that Benfica is on the right path, so that I don't feel that there's any reason why Benfica should not win this game against Lyon. So
we got to take care of business, right? These are the teams that we have to win against at home, especially. On paper, this is all stacking up to be a nice, easy 3 points. But also in January, I know we alluded to it, but I don't think we discussed it, that there's the African Cup of Nations that's going on. There's the Asian Cup. So luckily for us, we don't have any players on our squad that are going to be missing. But like we said, Braga's missing Banza and also Nyakate as well in the back. Sporting's missing Morita and Yomande.
Which are big misses.
Taremi and Zaidu, right? Yeah. So our competitions are missing out some key players in their squad. So this is where we need to make these points up if we're going to catch up with the Sporting here.
Yeah, no, it's definitely going to be...
I can't believe you got to say that, catch up with...
1 point.
Especially in January, right?
It doesn't even sound right.
Hey, look, all the credit to them. I think that they really have been the most consistent team so far in the league, and I think that consistency is what wins the championship. So we'll see. They've been playing well. They're on a positive momentum. They're scoring goals. The team looks happy, and Mourinho looks happy. It's going to be tough, man. I don't think Porto has the chops to keep up. I think that Braga can stay there. I think that Braga can stay within that 4 or 5 point range, maybe. But I think that it's going to be.
You think Braga stays ahead of Porto?
Yeah. I think that.
No chance they let that happen.
I think that.
You don't think so, Dave? They're going to find a way?
Yeah.
On paper, everything's pointing it out that Braga would definitely overpass Porto. But the forces that be that are. that play outside of the lines. We'll never let that.
Yeah, maybe
it's
so.
It's already going to be a big miss for them to finish third this year with the direct.
Yeah.
Or indirect of going to the Champions League and going directly to Europa League.
Yeah.
So that's already going to be
yeah.
huge.
Yeah.
Cost.
Hold on. There's no. This year, that's right. There is no playoff for a third place, right?
No, third.
Only for second.
First direct, right, and right. second gets the playoffs.
Yeah.
Dang, that even alluded me to that, right?
I got to be honest with you guys. I think that right now, out of the four teams, so Braga, Benfica, Sporting, and Porto, I think that Porto...
You giving Braga credit?
No. I just want to say something. I think that Porto has the worst squad out of all the teams. Out of those four teams.
I agree with you. I think they have one of the better goalies, though.
No, I think that they have a better goalie. I think that Pepe is a quality player. But you look up and down that roster, man. Fullbacks are shit. Pep's old. Marcano keeps getting injured. Cardozo is should have been a no-brainer starter by now. You got Nico Gonzalez.
Got Navajo that went to Olympiacos straight up said,
they haven't even paid him yet.
I was like, oh boy.
Yeah, no. Look, I don't want to take. This is not a Porto podcast, but
sorry. It's my fault, man. I go off on these things.
No. But, you know, as Benfiquistas, we should take joy in seeing those mother effers getting buried. But to me, I just don't think that they have the squad to compete right now. And I don't think they have the money to go out and get guys that are going to make a difference. So I think that there's a lot that's going to be played outside the lines. That we have to be very, very cautious and very, very on top of it, as both as a club and as a fan base. But it's gonna be tough.
I think we got this. As soon as Neres comes back, hopefully Bach comes back. I think we even with those two players coming in, with Marcus coming in, man, I think we'll do it.
Because yeah.
Now we have other solutions. We can push people forward. We have real fullbacks coming in. I don't know about Jura Seca, Bernard Menaro.
Yeah, I think
you guys already talked to this to death. I mean, I don't. Who's got these?
I mean, for me, Bernat is returning to sender at this point.
Well, he came. Yeah, he came on. Whatever the deal.
I think especially if Benfica go out and get a decent left back, I think that Jurasek is not good at this point. I think that Bernat spends too much time in the infirmary for us to even count him as a viable solution. So I hope that Benfica does end up grabbing a left back, whether it's Malheiro from Boavista or not. I heard this morning that he wasn't coming. Then at night, Ball is reporting that it's his signing is imminent. So I'm really not sure.
The ball, the paparazzi.
Yeah.
Ball of him.
Yeah, but I just wanted to say I got a couple of loose items here that I wanted to mention. I forgot to mention when we were talking about the Roca game that on the 10th anniversary of Eusebio's passing, all the players had Eusebio in the back. And Dave, can you believe that? That João Neves was 9 years old when Eusebio passed. I mean, he wasn't even probably aware of the importance of that Eusebio was to Benfica at 9 years old. I know at 9 years old, I didn't have that type of comprehension at that time. I just wanted to be my friend with my friends and playing playground. But it's interesting that. You know, and I thought it was classy by Benfica to do a tribute like that, and I hope that on every anniversary there's something specially 10, 15 years, 30 years, so on and so forth.
They've done that, right? Didn't they do that last year too, or the year before?
No, I think this is only the second time that that they've worn the name Eusebio in the back, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. The first one being, yeah.
They did it the first game back against Porto, and then this would have been the second.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that this was the second. I don't know if the guys, if the guys in the chat know something that I don't know, but I think this was only the second time in which the team has played with W in the back. Maybe they've probably had like the black bands on their sleeves.
Yeah, maybe with the logo. Yeah, I think it was that. They used to put the black bands with the logo of the Eusebio Cup, though.
Yeah.
The old Eusebio Cup, which they should have never stopped doing that, which changed.
I was going to say, it's almost been 10 years since the last Eusebio Cup.
Right,
right. Good call, Dave.
Which is terrible.
Yeah, it is terrible. That should be the first game that goes on the schedule, because it seems that every time that they're trying to arrange this Eusebio Cup, there's always scheduling conflicts. You can't get the right team to come. There's no time. You got to play Champions League qualify. This should be, when you're planning the season, this should be the first game on your calendar that you feel, well, if we place this game here, it's not going to affect with Champions League qualifying or whatever. Let's just place this game here. I remember when they used to have Jogos de Apresentação. Or Chossi. Yeah,
like right away in August, like the first week of August. It was early. It was early. And I remember, and it was great, man. It doesn't matter if they win or lose, you know, at this point. It's just the whole principle of doing this match.
It's a homage to the king that means so much to us. A couple other loose items on the winter transfer window that's still going. It looks like Rollheiser will be confirmed by Benfica. He won't be joining Benfica until June or July, however you want to look at it, which is when it starts. And I think that that's the right thing. At this point, with the amount of wingers that we have, with Neres coming, it doesn't make much sense to have this guy just come and sit. Today there was news about Leandro Barreiro, which is a Portuguese descent, but is from Luxembourg, is an international from Luxembourg that plays for Mainz in Germany, box-to-box midfielder that is Benfica is rumored to be interested in. Also, Gonçalo Guedes rumored to be going on loan to Villarreal, back to Spain. From Wolves, and I think that throughout his career, and still a young career, I think that Guedes has been plagued by a lot of injuries. I think this style of play is very, he's a player that relies a lot on explosiveness. I think that the injuries have plagued him and have really allowed him to get to a level of consistency where he could step up to the next level. And it's been a shame, right? Because I think as Benfiquistas, when Gonçalo Guedes joined, we all had big hopes for Gonçalo Guedes. He's a good player, played internationally in the biggest leagues in the world. And certainly we felt, okay, well, Guedes is going to shore up, but we really haven't seen much from him. And after this last injury, I mean, he's just a shadow of himself. I remember him in this game against Tarouca dribbling the ball, getting caught up in the ball where he had to backtrack to get back to the ball because the ball just got tangled up in his feet. And he's just like he's a shadow of himself. And I feel bad for the guy because I was hoping that he could really be a big contributor to Benfica both last year and this year. And in has had very limited minutes.
You just brought down the vibe heavily. like he is finished. He is a shadow.
I know. I don't think he's right now.
You know what? I feel the same way, man. Like when he and Di Maria came, right? I would say between Di Maria and him, you know, Gelch is gonna, you know, shine probably a little bit more than Di Maria because a little bit younger. But you're totally right, man. He, him. When you talk about the injuries, that I just thought about Renato Sancho also, you know, guys that were plagued by injuries, like transferred out of Benfica, they never really got it going. And it's such a shame. I mean, Gonçalo Guedes is always going to be, he scored the goal for us, right, in the Cup of Nations.
Yeah.
It was him that put it away, so not going to forget that. You know, he brought us a cup. But it is terrible that he couldn't, like, implement himself maybe in the starting 11. Could make an impact.
And
I think that we should give him, if he is gonna leave, I hope Schmidt plays him. He still has something in him if the game is leaning our way, I think we should allow him to play.
Yeah, I think also that Schmidt said in his presser today that because he was asked about possible move, and Schmidt said the same thing. He's a guy that needs to play. He needs to get reps. He needs to get better. His injuries have really hurt him in terms of his development and going further in his career. And he really, I don't know if this deal is something of an opportunity that's opened. I don't know if Wolves is saying, well, maybe Benfica is too high of a level and he hasn't been playing, so we don't want a player that's on loan that's not playing as much. So maybe if he goes to Villarreal, maybe he will have a little bit more minutes. I don't know. I don't know where it's coming from. But I think at this
point, I don't think Wolves are going to keep him in. I don't know.
Yeah, but I think at this point,
I'm going to look it up.
If Neres comes back, which Schmidt is saying 2 to 3 weeks for both Neres and Bach to be back, what's going to happen to Gonçalo Guedes? Because it does seem that he's dropped down past Gouveia.
Yeah, you're right. With Neres coming back, Gouveia has to play more too, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other one.
He's shown that he can do it.
But here's the thing, right? If you're going to give minutes to a guy, right, I'd much rather give minutes to Gouveia. For as much as I love Guedes, right, I'd much rather give minutes to Gouveia, who's the future, than Guedes that at the end of the loan, he's going bye-bye.
A gente joga com 12, bro. A gente joga com 12. Ninguém vê.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's that, man. I don't have anything else, man.
Sad as heck, man.
Dave, what are you checking right now, Chris?
I'm checking the Gonçalo Guedes contract over there at Wolf. See if I find it.
Yeah. What's Dave, can you look up Villarreal real quick to see where they're at in the Spanish
They're in Europa League, I'll tell you that much.
They are.
They might be
a
potential opponent later down the road, but
where are they at in the Spanish La Liga? I think they're towards the bottom, no? I'm not sure. But
they're in 13th at the moment.
Yeah, 13th out of what, 19
games? 20.
13th out of 20, so they're in the bottom half. But yeah, I think that he probably get a lot more opportunities at Villarreal than he will get at Benfica. So maybe, I don't know if it's his agent. I don't know if it's Wolves are looking at him and said, look, regardless of whether he comes back or not, at some point we gotta, him stopping is not, he's not increasing value. If anything, he's decreasing value. So perhaps the Wolves is looking at it and saying, we need to get this guy more minutes so that he's even could come back to us in good form in a different place, or we make him we put him in a shop. Put him in a window.
It's not like Wolves having a stellar season either, man.
No, it's not. It's not.
I mean, they are almost catching up to Chelsea, but that doesn't say much.
Who isn't these days?
Man.
Yeah. So that's it. That's all we got for you guys, man. We'll be back next week. We'll recap the Braga game. We'll recap the Rio Ave game. We'll look ahead to Boa Vista and what else is coming.
Recap the Braga victory. Stop saying it.
Victory. Epa, foda-se. Já fizeste o jinx.
Nada disso, man. Eu digo sempre, man. Todos os jogos. O que é que o Benfica... Vamos ganhar.
from your mouth to Eusebio's ears.
Yeah, man.
Chris.
Poetic that he passed away, man, right by Dia dos Reis, right? It was on the 5th.
Yeah, man.
It was on the 6th. Crazy, man.
Yeah. So that's it. Chris, thank you for joining us. Don't forget, guys, don't forget to check out Cristiano and the rest of his crew. They do a show live on Facebook on every Monday, 8 p.m. here, Eastern Standard Time, New York City time. Como é que chama? Só gols.
Só gols. Isso vai ser amanhã. Não, é goal in.
Goal in.
On Facebook and on Instagram. Well, adiram ao canal, tune in, have some fun. Comment on a Facebook too. Try to screen it. Make sure no one goes buck wild. But got a couple of name callings the other day. Some here and there.
Yeah.
Got a little clown emojis.
Yeah.
Those are all right.
Yeah.
Have some fun in the in the comments.
Yeah, and you got Portistas in there, which are always fun. Bruno, if you guys remember from the Three Tugas podcast.
Bruno. Yeah, that's right, Yeah, Bruno's there.
Bruno's
there. He brings in the ruckus. I know he has a lot of fans.
Brings the ruckus. All right, everyone. Chris, thank you for filling in for Chris. Chris.
Thank you. I know I'm not as good looking as the other Chris.
Don't sell yourself short.
It was a Chris.
Don't sell yourself short. Dave, always a pleasure, my friend. See you next week. Take care, everyone. Thanks for everyone that was in the chat and helping us out. Sorry we didn't interact much with the chat today, but see you guys. Thanks for checking out the show live. And for those guys that are going to listen, thank you for all. Take care, everyone. See you next week.
Later.